If any of you want an appointment, it starts next Tuesday, all week, from 9 to 5. And also, if any of you want to put any questions up here, write them out and just put them there. And I may discuss them during the class, or I may call you separately, I don't know. But put your questions down. And let's get all the information we got to get in order to achieve what we must achieve. I want to practice for a moment this delicate relationship between what you think and what you think you think. Because with your human mind, nothing you think is what you actually think. If it's not your Christ mind thinking for you, you are borrowing world thought and thinking that I have this thought. And so during this last war in Iraq, we all thought there was a war going on. And world mind was feeding us this information. I jest not, and I'm not setting up this point of view flippantly. I expect each of you to deal with it and to try to isolate yourself from world mind so that you can come into Christ's thought. Now, the way you do that is with your knowledge that everything in God's universe is under God control. And God being all, everything in God's universe is all there is. Everything that is wrong is in this world, which is under control of the world mind. And we are coming out from under it. Whenever anything happens in this world, it will be reported to you through your thought, and it will be reported falsely, because you must learn how to agree with your adversary. You must learn to see that your adversary is doing your thinking for you. Now, the simplest way to do it is to say to your Christ mind, "Is this true? And you'll find once you've thought about it and suspected its untruth, that you may get to the point where your Christ mind leads you out of this jungle of world thought. The world has been doing that for centuries, and you have been doing it for centuries without thinking of it and without knowing that this is the nature of the hypnotism. It will be a refreshing truth to emerge out of the shadow of world thought, which everyone else has about a certain subject, the economic situation, the world situation, all of those matters which we are all so concerned about, and see what Christ is thinking. And you must be severe with yourself to do that. You've got to say, this is not a divine thought. Why would God be expressing all these concerns about the world? These are world thoughts, and then they come down into individual thought. I'm going to put a stop to it in me. Now, I know everybody is something wrong with them. Everybody feels that something is wrong in their life. either the body or the business or their husband or something of that nature. Reflect a moment. And if it's something that you consider serious, then by all means, dwell on it and rest there that this thought I have, as much as I can find out the truth about it, if I have this thought that this situation exists in my body or business, how come my thought is so different than God's thought? This adversity that has come to me, to my knowledge, is that the truth that my mind should know? Now don't forget, our fundamental principle was that nothing in God's universe is ever wrong. You must be entertaining an idea about a counterfeit of God's universe. It isn't the universe you want to live in. If there's something wrong in it, you have a counterfeit point of view. Nothing is wrong in God's universe. And now you must go that step further. What gives me the idea that something is wrong? My human mind. And now you must go a step further again. My human mind is not telling me about something in God's universe. Everything in God's universe is perfect. So I look with suspicion on my human mind reporting this bad situation in my world. I will not get out of it until I see that I have got a human mind opinion about something that is not in God's world. And that includes my body, my business, my marriage, my son's body, my child's mind, everything that reports anything that is not perfect is not only reporting what does not exist in God's world, but it is your mind reporting it. And that's the basis of the problem. Your mind reporting what is wrong. And you are in the wrong mind. How are you going to get back to the right mind, the Christ mind, which says to the blind man, open thine eyes, to the cripple, walk? You've got to learn how, because the secret has been bypassed for centuries, and it was taught by Jesus. You need wisdom. That's to get through this clutter that stands before you. The first step in wisdom is to stand still and not let the human mind bring you its normal sense of things. don't worry how ridiculous it may appear to you that you're trying to find the truth. Just stand there and insist on finding the truth. My human mind is reporting something wrong, and there's nothing wrong in God's kingdom. Isn't that simple? Now, you're not rid of it just because you said it, but you've got to first establish that thought. There's nothing wrong in God's kingdom. Why is my human mind reporting it? There's the culprit you got to worry about. Because the world mind says that this is the condition. The world mind says human body's got to be imperfect. Now my human mind says mine is therefore imperfect. I feel it. I know it's wrong. I know it. But God says no. Now how are you going to get to the Christ mind, which knows there's nothing wrong in your body? You first must be still in the human mind. That's agreeing with your adversary. And your adversary is always the world mind. Now I'm still, I'm quieting the fact that my human mind is telling me something. Because I know my human mind is getting it from the world mind. And now I'm quieting it, and the world mind is trying to talk to my human mind, but it's not making any headway for the moment. And as I quiet this mind more and more, Christ is saying, just hold that truth a little longer. Soon you will not be with a human mind. And I will come whose right it is to sit upon your throne. I will bring you the truth of your spiritual body. Now that's your third letter to the churches, Pagasos. Your spiritual body. Don't you realize that your spiritual body is a perfect body? That's the same body that the world thought it crucified in Jesus. Your spiritual body has never been sick. You didn't know you had one. It's time to learn you have. In fact, you're going to have a knowledge of it in order to move into the kingdom, because that's where it lives. It lives in the kingdom of God. It lives in eternity. And you're going to have to live in eternity in your spiritual body, or you won't enter eternity. You won't be cognizant of its existence. Your spiritual body, which lives in eternity, is an eternal body. You've had that body as your body longer than your days on this earth. That body was not born. That body will not die. It has eternally been your body. And that body is in relationship with the eternal Father. And everything in that eternal body of the Father is in your spiritual body. Son, all that I have is thine. When you have an ache, a pain, a defect, try to see that this is the world mind in you posing as your human mind saying, I have an ache in the body, and you have a spiritual, infinite, perfect body, and at least you are setting up the beginning of thought which is divine. When you take no thought for your body, for your life, you begin to set up this divine thought. Divine thought about your spiritual body will establish eventually the use of your spiritual body, the awareness of your spiritual body, and the fact that you have no other body. Put this down as an absolute truth, the fact that you can depend on. You have a perfect, eternal, spiritual body now. And all that is happening is that in the picture of time, you are under the belief that I have a time body, a body that ages, a body that has defects, a body that gets tired, a body that lives so long. That's world thought. Anything that is not perfect is world thought. You have an ageless, eternal, spiritual body. Well, there are a lot of things can be done with your physical body in this world. Well, we're not depending on the things that can be done with our physical body in this world. We live in the Father's house, in eternity, in the kingdom. And the law of divine life is that everything is under the jurisdiction of God. God governs my eternal spiritual body. I don't have to go to man whose breath is in his nostrils. Temporarily I may appear in this body, but you always have before you the knowledge that a man in this world conquered the appearance of a temporary physical body, and he said, I have overcome the world. And put up your sword, Peter. I don't need to be protected. Pilate, you have no power over me. And then he went on to prove it. That is our shining example. When you develop the awareness that that is truth, you will go forth and do the same. If we look at the seven letters of the to the churches, in the first, we have very briefly discussed Ephesus, which is the Christ consciousness, which is the sum of the six added up, which makes the seventh. In Christ consciousness, Son, everything I have is thine. That is the automatic awareness. And everything I have is perfect. So therefore, whatever is imperfect is not real, is not of God. When we move into Smyrna, our divine life, we reject everything that is not perfect in our divine life, because it is a perfect divine life. You will learn that this divine life of mine does not exist in time. It does not change. It does not get sick or better. It is perfect to start with, It is always perfect. It is a law unto itself. And you start to look at the world around you with different eyes, because you cannot look at the world with human eyes. Your life is divine. And when you come to your body, you realize that if I have a divine body, that's the third letter, pagasos, pagamos. If I look at anything with human eyes, then I have two bodies. I have a human body and a divine body. So I withhold the judgment of my human body, because in pagamos, we have a divine body, which is made by the Father, which is the body of the Son of God. It's always divine. It's always perfect. It's neither male nor female. And it is invisible to human sense. It is untouchable to human touch. Nothing that the five senses can delineate ever see, feel, touch, taste, smell my divine body. Wherever you see me, that isn't me. You cannot see my divine body. And only my divine body can be visible to your divine body. So we are in another world than the one God created. No one can see the divine body of anyone, yet it is the only body that is here. When you come to some measure of the fringe of even awareness, you begin to see what a glorious future we all have. That the future will be what has always been true. The future is the emergence of our use of the divine body in daily life. We'll be in the kingdom of God then, but we are in it now because we are in our divine bodies now. And there will be, in some of us, just a glimmer of awareness of that, but enough of a glimmer for you to say, my divine body is perfect. My divine body does not give birth to children. My divine body doesn't do anything that a human body does. My divine body is here, but it is only detectable by the Christ mind, the divine mind. So you see, slowly we're beginning to emerge into another universe where everything is divine, where everything is eternal, and one part of it depends on the other part of it. But the Christ mind is going to reveal it to you. Can you imagine being in a divine body and trying to use a human mind? Isn't that incongruous? But you want your Christ body. You want the body that is unconditioned, the body that never falters, that never gets tired, that always does God's will, that always does the perfection. And you want that body, but you can't have it with a human mind. They don't function together. So you can see that as you develop the Christ quality, other things become visible to you that remain invisible until you develop that quality. And if you are now beginning to emerge into a divine self, you're going to have a Christ consciousness, a divine life, a divine body, and then you're going to come into the other awarenesses that you have divine perfection always. And you'll come into Thyatira, the fourth quality which Christ told us we needed. And you find that you now are being lifted into the divine will. That you will only do through divine will ordained acts. That whatever you do is already perfected. That you do not have a human mind and a human will because you have a divine body. You must have a divine will. And so there is a slow escalation in which one is eclipsed and the other shines forth. What is being eclipsed is your self-will. And you must cooperate. That's one of the tough horses to lick. Because sometimes, even though your intention is the best, self-will will erupt, and you'll find yourself in a compulsion. Something looks good to you, you've got to do it. But it's self-will. It's not ordained. And so when you bring it forth and do it, you're not activating your divine body. Because the divine body won't respond. You're activating your human sense of body. And you're licked before you start. So when you develop your sense of human will and are able to grow out of it, you become aware of its tricks, then as you accept your divine will, you'll find your divine will activate your divine body. And oh, that's a glorious experience, because things that happen that way are in the perfection of God. It is possible and will be happening in your experience someday, because it is already true that when radiation covers the world, when the world of radiation is released through the world mind in this world, that we will walk in that radiation undisturbed. When I say we, I'm not saying all, because some will not have reached the point where they are living under divine will in a divine body. But as you saw through Jesus' activity in divine will in a divine body, he could walk through walls, he could walk on water,
He could have walked through radiation, and he could walk through death, untouched. This wasn't done so that we would look at it and say, isn't he wonderful? It was done so that we learned that's in our divine experience when we attain the capacity to release the Father's divine will in us. In Sardis, you learn that omnipresence means that divine power is everywhere. That's the fifth letter to the churches, divine power. Divine power is the power of the divine in the Son of God, the Christ. The Christ is the truth of your being. Divine power is the power of the Christ of your being. And there is no power to oppose divine power. There is no need for you to say, I will this or I will that. Divine power does its own thing automatically when you have removed all belief in other powers. When your experience shows you that this has power and that has power, you haven't removed your belief in that power. And you're going to try to mix powers, whereas divine power is the only power. And the shadow of power that we call power, human power, physical power, is no power in the presence of realized spirit. When I know who I am, below the level of saying it, seeing it, feeling it, when I realize it, bring it to life, when I stand fast, then all other powers lose their so-called power because they have only borrowed from my inability to recognize the true power. Then even radiation becomes no power. And I think you had better listen to this, because if you remember the end of the world, it's not the end of the world. It's the beginning of the kingdom of God. But there is a phase in the breakup of the illusion where radiation runs the universe of man. And each of us must anticipate the world of radiation as a world thought, which is not my thought, but a thought of the world in me. We must come to that level where the world is not thinking in me. We must build up to that level where all that's thinking in me is the Christ mind. And then the world of radiation is no more powerful than anything that Christ exhibited as a fact. You can't do this humanly. You can't do it through willpower. It's through prepared acceptance of the Christ reality of your being and you can break it up at any time that you take one out and say he's not the Christ or he isn't. It's only through this unanimity of one being that the power of the infinite will release the appearance or the belief of radiation. What seems to be a universal fact will be released by the power of the infinite when you attain the consciousness that my physical body has no power, physical laws have no power, material laws have no power over me, because I live in the Christ. And the Christ has overcome this world. Nothing this world has is real, even radiation. But it isn't going to be done easily. It's going to be a development from one truth to another, as you escalate these truths in you until you become certain of what they are and who you are. You won't even know radiation is on this earth. I'd like to look at the power of love. The seventh letter to the churches. You see, God is love. So love must be part of your being. You can't keep it out, or you're not divine. You can't be anything less than love. It must be who you are. It's not a question of anything you want to do. It's a question of you have no choice in it. You are love, because God is love. And if you find it impossible to love your community, your country, your nation, your world, it's because you are part of that appearance of counterfeit which the world accepts and lives in, and you have not found that secret that the love of God is an infinite expression. And when that expression is your expression, everything is working perfectly because God loves you. How do you bring love into your life? We're not talking of human love. We're talking of love that encompasses no condition, no imperfection, no selfishness, no desire for reward, no human qualities. A love that overflows. If you have felt divine love at times, you've wondered and said, I feel different. I just love everybody. I don't know why. And that fellow over there, I didn't think much of him before, but I even love him today. That's the glimmer of what human love is and what divine love is. You find a oneness even with animals automatically. Some people have it now. Some people are expressing divine love because they're letting it flow without any thing standing in the way to block it. Jesus laid down love as the seventh point. He didn't go around loving the Pharisees that you would notice it. He didn't go around loving Pilate and loving Rome. But you will notice, too, that there was an awareness in him of the divine nature of his being and theirs, which whenever it came into contact with an individual, they could feel like an invisible generator working. That divine love was restoring every person who was healed to his own reality. That divine love has to become part of your being, an integral part, so that it's the seven qualities are woven together. Like the clothing Jesus wore at the time of the crucifixion, woven in one piece, so that you have these qualities woven in one piece, because each quality makes the other possible. Divine love keeps your divine body perfect. But it helps keep other divine bodies perfect. And as the world begins to find itself in a divine expression, we'll find that our bodies slowly are shown to us as divine. Now then, everything about you is divine. There's nothing that is not divine. You don't hate your mother-in-law because she is divine. The reality of everyone is divine to the divine being. You're stepping out and the Father who seeth in secret rewards thee openly, because the Father in you rejoices at your recognition of your identity. The Father in you is accepted when you bring out your divine qualities, when you honor the Father, you honor the Son. When you honor the Son, you honor the Father. To be perfect as your Father is to allow the seven divine qualities to function in your illuminated consciousness. The only way you can prevent it is to actively decide that I'm going to be a human being anyway, then you can prevent it as often as you like. You can become a 666. That's that little number in the Bible, in Revelation. 666. And all that is the reincarnating human, coming back to six every time. He's half there. When he's there, he'll be a 112. That's all. We're through with 666. And if we are trying to really be ourselves, we're through letting others be 666 too. We won't hold them in that level. Let's go inside now. Let's find the Christ of our being.